is the beginning of the future that John foresees in the book of Revelation. In the first chapter, verse 19, John was told to write the things that thou hast seen, the things that are, and the things that shall be hereafter. We have three tense there. We have the past tense, the present tense, and the future tense that John was supposed to write. The things that John had seen began in his lifetime, and he had seen the gospel age in its beginning. He had witnessed the life, the ministry, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and his ascension back to God. And he had written these things down in the gospel of St. John. He had seen the church established by the power of the Holy Spirit that Christ had promised upon, that came upon the day of Pentecost, and had been a part of the great commission to go out and preach the gospel in all the world. He had already written about these things, but then in the first chapter is written the things that John saw on that occasion, the beginning of these revelations that we're studying now. Then in the second and third chapter, he wrote about the things that are, or the things that were at the present time, how they stood at that time when John saw this vision, the letters that he was told to write to the seven churches of Asia, explaining the condition that they were in and what the Lord said to do about it. But as we come to the fourth chapter then today, he began by saying, after this I looked. After the vision that John had seen, recorded in chapter 1, and after these seven letters that he was told to write to send to the seven churches of Asia had been written, he says, after this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. Now let us notice that verse carefully before we leave. He said, I looked and a door was opened in heaven. As we go through these chapters of the Revelation, we'll find that in many places the word heaven is used to symbolize the church or heavenly places, as the Apostle Paul writes about in Ephesians, the first chapter, verse 3, and again in the second chapter in verse 6. And some say that it is in that sense that the word heaven is used here. It might possibly be referring to the church, but I'm inclined to think, in view of what we read in verse 2, and then the description given of what John sees in verse 2, given in verse 3, that John actually saw in the heaven itself, through a door that was opened to him. And the first voice, he said, which I heard. In the discourse of this revelation, John will hear many voices. And they will not all be the same voice or the same source. But he says that he speaks of this one as the first voice which I heard. I assume he's talking about the same voice that he heard as recorded in chapter 1, which would be the voice of Jesus Christ through his angel. He says, I heard this voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet. It had a loud announcing voice, a message to deliver, saying, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. Come up here, and I'll show you the future. Now, some say that this come up hither is an invitation to come up in the future to the time when these things would happen. That would be possible. That would make sense. But I believe that it was actually an invitation from heaven to come up in the Spirit to be here and see as it happens, as we see it. And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. Now John did not actually go to heaven on that day in the body of flesh that he lived in, but in the Spirit. He was called up in such a vision as to make it possible, his body in the flesh that he lived in, not hindering his seeing, just as God and Christ saw down through the pages of the future that would today be history. In the 2 Corinthian letter, in the 12th chapter, we have the Apostle Paul speaking in verses 2 and 4 of one being caught up to the third heaven, and verse 4, to paradise. And he said, he heard unspeakable words which were not lawful for man to utter. John Paul experienced a vision like that, that he was caught up into heaven. He saw as God sees. He heard voices that were not revealed, things not revealed to man yet, except by the Spirit through the apostle. That's what John was experiencing here. He was caught up into heaven, and he saw a throne set there, and one sat on the throne. We know that the scriptures teach that Jesus, when he left this earth, ascended back to God and is seated at the right hand of God on his own throne up there. But if we study on in this chapter and the next chapter, we conclude that the one that John saw on the throne here in this scene is God the Father and not Jesus Christ, as we will see Christ engaged in other activities while the Father is still seated on the throne. But he said, he that sat on the throne looked, was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone. And there was a rainbow round about the throne in sight like unto an emerald, describing what he saw there, the glory of God on his throne. But let us notice that no effort is made to describe any image or any symbol or form, shape, as to what God looked like. No similitude given as to the shape or size or form of God, but rather to explain and to visualize the greatness of his glory, like a jasper stone, a sardine stone. I'm told that these two stones combined make such a brightness that the natural human eye could not look at it, except that it were tempered by something. And it is tempered here in this scene by a rainbow inside like unto an emerald, a softening effect that this rainbow, this emerald image gave to that, enabling the apostle to see, to look upon the glory of the God of heaven. And round about the throne were 24 seats. And up on the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment. And they had on their heads crowns of gold. Now what could this symbolize here? What is the meaning? And who are these 24 elders seated upon these 24 seats round about the throne of God in heaven? Only two explanations have ever been given in all the commentaries that I have ever written, or to my knowledge, and one of them is so lacking in scriptural evidence or relevance to the subject that we're studying, the revelation of Jesus Christ, I discarded it immediately. But I want to notice the other one. 24 is twice 12. We combine 12 and 12 and we have 24. Under the old covenant, we had the 12 tribes of Israel. When God made covenant with Abraham, then with Isaac, the second generation, then with Jacob, the third generation, he changed Jacob's name. He changed it from Jacob to Israel, which means God's people. So Israel was the father of Jacob, was the father of God's people, Israel. And he gave Jacob 12 sons and the 12 tribes of Israel throughout their generation are known by the names of those 12 sons, the 12 patriarchs we speak of. They represent the people of God under the old covenant. But we come to the New Testament, and under the New Covenant, we have 12 apostles of the Lamb. Jesus chose 12 men to witness his life, to be with him throughout his personal ministry, and to go into all the world and take his message to the world. And in Luke, the 22nd chapter, and verses 28 through 30, he said to these 12 men, "Ye are they which have continued with me in my temptation. And I appoint unto you a kingdom, as my Father hath appointed unto me, that ye may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom, and sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel." There we have the 12 apostles of the Lamb and the 12 tribes of Israel brought together, connected. And we go to the 21st chapter of this book of Revelation. And in another vision, John saw the holy city, the New Jerusalem, descending down from God out of heaven, symbolizing the church. And he said, the wall of the city was great and high. And on the wall of that city were 12 gates, 3 gates on each of the 4 sides. And on the names of them 12 gates, the names of the 12 tribes of Israel. And he said the city had 12 foundations. And upon those foundations, the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. That gives us again the 12 tribes of Israel and the 12 apostles of the Lamb. Combined, we have 24. And the 24 elders give us their representation in heaven. They have white robes on, signifying their purity, being made pure by the blood of the Lamb. They have crowns on their head, signifying that they have overcome the victory gained through Jesus Christ, thus representing the saved of all people upon the earth in heaven. Now then, out of the throne proceeded lightnings, thunderings, and voices. And there were 7 lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the 7 spirits of God. Now just think about that for a moment. Lightnings and thundering and voices. What does lightning symbolize? Light flashing, going forth, and speed. Thundering, reverberation, if I can say that word. Influence of that light. Voices, people speaking. The gospel going forth from the throne of God into all the world is symbolized here. And he said the 7 lamps before the throne, which are the 7 spirits of God. We know that the gospel was carried into all the world by the fullness of the Spirit of God. 7 is a full number, representing all the fullness, the complete Spirit, power of the Spirit of God, carrying the gospel into all the world. And before the throne, there was a sea of glass, like unto crystal. And in the midst of the throne, round about the throne, were 4 beasts full of eyes, before and behind. Now, as we get further and further into these symbols, they get more and more complicated to know just what they are. But let us notice first, a sea of glass. In many places in Revelation, the sea is used to symbolize the church. Glass is transparent. It can be seen through. In the opening of the 5th seal, in the 6th chapter, John saw the souls of them that had died for the gospel of Christ under the altar of God. Here we see before the throne of God a sea of glass, the church, the souls of the dead that can be seen there that have died for the gospel of Jesus Christ. But he said, in the midst of the throne and round about the throne, there were 4 beasts full of eyes before and behind. These eyes symbolized vision. They could see before, they could see behind. They could see the past, they could see into the future. But who are these beasts? In the book of Ezekiel, in the first chapter, we have a parallel vision there by Ezekiel. And he speaks to these four beasts as four living creatures, which to me is a much better translation than beast, inasmuch as it is hard to imagine a beast before the throne of God. But I'm not going to get into an argument or discussion here of translations of the Bible. The King James Version in this scripture gives it beast. But what were they? They meant something. They had to represent something. They're described in verse 7. But before we go into that description, I'm going to say that these four beasts represent the four quarters or four major parts of all the earth. In the seventh chapter again, John saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth. Now, we know that the earth is not flat, square, with square corners like a baseball field. But anything that can be divided into parts can be divided into quarters. And the earth is divided by history into four major parts: Asia, Africa, Europe, and America. History has divided them in that sense. That's four parts to the earth. We look now at the descriptions of these four beasts given in the seventh verse. The first beast was like a lion. A lion symbolizes strength. Asia was the first part of the world developed, the first part inhabited, the first part to ever receive the gospel of Jesus Christ. It stood in a position of strength at that time because of its advancement. The second beast was like a calf. The calf is the infant of the ox. What does an ox symbolize? Servitude, slavery, work. Africa has been all down through the history of the ages, still is today, the symbol of the breeding place of slavery, undeveloped, backward. This is Africa. The third beast had the face of a man. The face of a man symbolizes intellect, intelligence. Europe, the third part of the world developed, the third part to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ, has always been, according to history, the genius of invention, where science has research was developed. Most of the inventions of the world up until the last century of time came from Europe. So we say that third beast was Europe. But the fourth beast was like a flying eagle. Not just an eagle, but a flying eagle. What does that symbolize? Freedom. Something to go, not bound. America, the voice of freedom, ever since it's become a nation and gained its independence, has been the symbol of freedom. The first nation on earth of any size ever to guarantee the freedom of religion, of speech, the press, people to say, to think, to print what they please, worship God according to their conscience, to make their own rules by whom they'll be governed. The symbol of freedom. The very voice of freedom. And its emblem, the national emblem on our coins and on our government seals, the flying eagle. So I'm going to stand on that this fourth beast symbolizes America. But as we'll notice in chapter 6 when we get to the opening of the seals, this happened all before America was ever discovered. We'll talk more about that. It's still symbolized here. And the four beasts had each of them six wings about him. They were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come." Now then, what does that mean? had six wings. Again, I want to remind you of the parallel scene or vision of Ezekiel in the first chapter. The images that he saw that had the same number of wings. And he said when these creatures went, they went with their wings, and their wings made a noise. And he said the noise of their wings was as a great waters. The noise of great waters. We turn to the 17th chapter of this Revelation letter, verse 15. And there an angel of the Lord explained to John that the vision that he had seen there, that included waters, these waters symbolized people, multitude, nations. Thus, the wings that carried the creatures in Ezekiel's vision made the noise of waters of a great multitude. But Ezekiel didn't stop there. He said it was as the sound of the voice of the Almighty. As a great host, he said. And when we put that all together, what do we have? A host, a multitude of people speaking with voices, voicing the word, the voice of the Almighty. The gospel again, going forth into all these four parts of the earth that we're talking about and making the sound. The wings of these beasts symbolize the carrying, the ability to lift up and to carry the gospel into all the world. And when those beasts, give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne who liveth forever and ever, that is, when they preach the gospel and through it they glorify and praise God that sits on the throne, the Almighty, he said, the 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne and worship him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying. And before we quote what they said, let us notice, when the gospel is preached into all the world, giving glory and praise to God, even the host of heaven, these people that are symbolized there, the righteous in heaven, already conquered, they too fall down, cast their crowns that they have won before the throne, giving recognition to God as the supreme being, that it's from him that they have all this, that they have gained the victory, giving glory, all of it, to him, saying, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. Recognizing the supremacy of Almighty God that created all things in heaven and earth, that everything that we have and are comes from him, and that to him we owe all of the praise. That it is for his pleasure that they were created, and that every blessing that we have and know comes from God. Now then, next Sunday, the Lord willing, we will take up with the 5th chapter, in which we see a book in the hand, this same one we've been studying today that sits on the throne. And that book is written within and on the backside. That is, it's written inside, it's written on the back, and it's sealed with 7 seals. 7, I want to mention again, is a full number, a whole, round, complete, meaning all. It is completely sealed. But it's written on the inside, it's written on the outside. What's written on the outside can be seen. What's written on the inside is sealed up. And until we get to the 6th chapter, we won't know anything that's sealed up in that book. But next Sunday, let us take for our lesson, the Lord willing, the 5th chapter, study in between today and next Sunday, this 4th chapter that we studied today. Go back over the things that we have studied and then try to remember as much as you can the things that have been said, and then study that 5th chapter. Let us come back next Sunday, the Lord willing, and see what we can learn that is symbolized in the 5th chapter about that book.